On the go, take News Talk 1010 Toronto with you. Download, listen, and learn through the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Jerry Agar.
Hey, welcome back. This is Mark Tuohy for Jerry Agar. Enjoyed that retrospective of Gordon Lightfoot's life and career done by John Moore. New Moore in the Morning, News Talk at 1010. Joining me now is Richard Krause, host of Last Call with Richard Krause and a regular News Talk 1010 contributor. Richard, it strikes me, this is not what I asked you on to talk about, but I would bet money that you've met Gordon Lightfoot and probably have some thoughts about him.
Yeah, many times. And once I was lucky enough to go to his house and shoot a long interview with him for my television show, Pop Life. And it was incredible being inside this house. I won't tell you where it is, but Drake is one of his neighbors. And we were given sort of full run of the downstairs. So we set up lights and had everything ready to go. And, you know, as there were a few other people there doing interviews and things. So as they tooled around doing interviews in other parts of the house, I was sitting in the living room, this one big room that has nothing but dozens, I mean, I would say maybe 100, but that might be an exaggeration, of fan paintings of the Edmund Fitzgerald all over the walls. And it's, I mean, it's incredible. You start looking at these things and you see, you know, how much that song meant to people, how much the Gordon Lightfoot means to people. With that, there was a life-size, bigger than life-size poster for him at Carnegie Hall that was in another room. There was a reel-to-reel where he recorded the demos for a lot of the songs that you've been playing today on the show. So, I mean, I just felt like I was in this castle of a Canadian icon being exposed to some of the coolest things. And if you look on my Twitter feed, you'll find a link to that interview we shot that day, some excerpts from it. And, you know, there's a picture up there of Gordon Lightfoot and myself standing there. And behind me, just to my right, is a guitar that is weather-beaten. You can tell that it's been played an awful lot. And he told me he had been playing that guitar for about 50 years. Wow. So that belongs in a museum. That's a museum piece right there.
What a great memory to have. I hope, Richard Krause, that they called that room full of the paintings of the Edmund Fitzgerald the rec room.
You know what? I thought of that. I would have mentioned it. You know, I was just kind of in awe of being around all this stuff. And when I was a kid, when he was having, you know, big radio hits and was on the radio all the time, frankly, I think I was too young and stupid to really understand the songs. I liked Kiss and The Clash and bands like that, you know, that were a little bit more loud and aggressive. And then later on, you know, as you grow some life experience and you learn about how things work in life and how they don't always turn out, that a line like, "Sometimes I think it's a sin when I feel like I'm winning when I'm losing again," just, you know, cuts me to the quick now. And you can look through his entire discography and look at the songs and look at the lyrics of those songs. And I think one of the things that he does so well when he writes like this is that these songs have such great specificity that you almost feel like you're living inside the song. In that world that he creates of melody and lyrics, and of course that incredible voice. Mm-hmm. And I've become such a huge fan over the years, and having met him a number of times and having had you know, some interesting interactions with him, that for me this is we have lost a giant.
Absolutely. Richard Krause, the reason I wanted to have you on is, you know, I heard like everybody that, oh, Hollywood writers might go on strike. Now they've gone on strike. I think there's like 11,000 of them. Apparently, they sort of negotiate contracts every 3 years. This is the first time there's been a strike in Hollywood since, what, 2007. But it struck me at first, well, how's that going to affect me? And then I started thinking, well, there are some productions, even the ones that are made here, but there are some types of shows that are written every day, as opposed to movies that might be written, you know, well in advance. Mm-hmm. So how is this going to affect me, starting from programs that, you know, might be on, I don't know, tonight, tomorrow night, without writing? They Can they be on late night shows? And, you know, what am I going to feel? What am I going to see?
Well, there'll be no new Saturday Night Live this week, even though Pete Davidson was announced as the host and had been out promoting it, because that show is written so close to the time that they go on live that there'll be no Saturday Night Live, from what I understand. You'll start to notice it, probably not straight away, but you'll start to notice it on your Netflix homepage when you look and you see, oh man, there's not a lot of new stuff coming up here anymore. The last strike lasted for 100 days, and that was a very long time. You saw it on the late night shows, where they were much more freewheeling because they weren't allowed to be quote unquote written. There were no writers working on them. So it was hosts that were just ad-libbing for an hour on television. Some, like Conan O'Brien, fantastic at it. Some others, maybe not so much. So we might see a lack of new programming there. You know, there are so many things that are at play in this, but mostly it's about the streamers. The streamers have come in and completely disrupted the business and tried to change it from an old model where if I had an idea for a sitcom, for instance, I would write a script on spec, hand it in to a studio, hopefully get it produced. They do a pilot for it. If the pilot got picked up, then you put a writer's room together and you proceed from there. In the new world of streamers, generally speaking, what happens is you come up with an idea for a show, and you're told, well, put a writer's room together, write an entire season, and then we'll see. Then maybe we'll see what happens. And they're paying them less for that. There is no guarantee that there will be any more money after the show has been produced, if it ever gets produced. And so you're finding people are working more and more on spec, making less money on the back end, which is, you know, what every writer dreams of, as, you know, writing, you know, 10 episodes of Seinfeld and then making money for the rest of your life on those. those days in streaming, anyway, are gone. And that's what the WGA, the Writers Guild of America, is fighting against right now. So you will start to notice it soon. A lot less new programming. And on the late night shows and any comedy shows, you'll just find that they're a bit more freewheeling because, again, they're not written.
Richard Krauss, host of Last Call with Richard Krauss, regular News Talk 1010 contributor. Thanks. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
My name is Mark Tuohy. I'm in for Jerry Agar today. Jerry will be back tomorrow, and I'm going to take some time off. You can follow me on Twitter, though, at Tuohy, T-O-W-H-E-Y. Find out where and when you can hear me again. Thanks to Donnie and to Andrew for putting today's show together. Thanks to you for staying with us throughout the last 3 hours or any portion of it that you can. Don't forget, if you missed something, you can check it out as a podcast. We podcast every hour of the Jerry Agar Show, wherever you get your podcasts. And stick around, because coming up next on the Vashi Capello Show, she speaks with a longtime friend of Gordon Lightfoot, Sylvia Tyson. She and her husband were instrumental in helping Gordon get his start in the music business. That'll be a fascinating discussion. He was a pretty impressive guy. So I'm going to shut up now. We can listen to a little bit of Gordon Lightfoot. Do we have that? No? I will keep talking then. Not now. Enjoy. That's everything I have to say.